Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, we can start early at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. It is hard to believe that 2019 is coming to a close, and we're going to finish strong tonight. Over the next 2 hours, we have got some incredible guests. We're going to get you ready for this weekend in college football, the playoff, the semifinals, and week 17 in the NFL. And we are so delighted to have with us in studio tonight, that is our producer, Andrew Carlson. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Carlson Radio. Good evening, Andrew.
Good evening, Alyssa. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year. Looking forward to 2020. But I tell you what, I just mentioned we're going to talk some college football, and it is week 17 of the NFL. But let's talk some NBA news and notes. And we all know that you love your Rockets. They are 21-10. We are one-third through the season, but they lost to the Warriors on Christmas. What have they shown you so far, Andrew?
It's been a very up-and-down season thus far. Obviously, the trade for Russell Westbrook was a massive move this past offseason. But there have been some real growing pains with integrating him into the team. When Russell comes in, you expect there to be some highs and lows, and there certainly have been that thus far. These past 8 or 9 games, we've really seen the best of what Russell can bring. He's been averaging nearly 30 points a game, shooting over 50% from the field. But in that game against the Warriors, it was the exact opposite. We saw the worst of what he can be and what he's been at a couple points throughout this season. And it culminated with a awful loss to the Warriors, who are one of the NBA's worst teams this year on Christmas night.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting that you bring up Westbrook, because he really was one of the biggest moves in the offseason. Ultimately, will it pay off?
It's going to be very interesting to see. I think that in the end, it will pay off simply because of the fact that he adds a degree of variance to this team that they didn't have with Chris Paul. The ceiling is a little bit higher with Russell Westbrook when he's playing his best. And to win a championship, especially with what we saw from Chris Paul last season, they needed to up the ceiling for this team just a little bit. And while the floor is definitely lower when Russell has his awful performances like he did against the Warriors on Christmas, what he can bring to the table and what he has brought at various points, it ups their game just a little bit. And I think that's making them a better team overall in the long run for their championship aspirations this season.
Good stuff from Andrew joining us tonight here, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, to kick off Hour 1. Much more coming your way. We're going to get ready for some college football playoff. Going to be talking LSU, Oklahoma here in just a moment.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour 1, SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio, and the Big E Sports Show. We love to hear from you. Join us, Hour 1, at eRadio Sports Info, eradiosports.com, and podcastarena.com. Hey, we kicked off our program tonight, that's right, with some NBA news and notes. We're talking about the Rockets with my producer, Andrew Carlson. But right now, we're going to completely shift gears. You know what? We're going to head out and visit with our friends from DraftKings. We are so delighted to have with us, that is Jamie Shea. She is the head of digital sportsbook, and she's with us for the very first time on the program. Good evening, Jamie.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, the sports gaming industry, I tell you what, it just continues to grow at a rapid pace. And we're excited to have DraftKings on with us tonight because we've got lots to get into. But it's interesting, when we look at your background, you have been in sports, the sports gaming business for what, many, many years prior to joining DraftKings as the head of Digital Sportsbook, as I just mentioned. So just tell us a little bit about your career and what led you to this role.
Sure. So, you know, I entered the industry in 1994 in Las Vegas. Really, the only place that you could place bets was in Nevada. My history is a little interesting because I actually went to school to be an elementary school teacher.
Oh, you did?
It didn't work out that way. So I got into the business because growing up, my dad owned racehorses, and I spent time at Calder, Hialeah, Gulfstream in Florida. So I kind of knew the racing industry. So whenever I did get out of school, I was thinking, you know, I knew that teaching wasn't the course that I wanted to go. Went into a sports book and they had an opening and started talking to them. And everybody was so great with me that they mentored me and, you know, taught me how to make lines. And I learned from the old school guys that had been there forever and, you know, was sitting there handicapping, making lines. And I instantly fell in love and knew that this is what I wanted to do.
You know, it's interesting, Jamie, listening to you. And as I talked about in the open, you know, so the sports gaming industry just continues to grow at a very rapid pace. I mean, what have you seen and witnessed as far as with this industry with sports gaming and just the change that you talked about the last 2 years? I mean, you just had mentioned, you know, like for many, many years, you could only do this in Nevada.
Right. You know, it really has taken off. And I always knew it would. I was so excited that PASPA was repealed a couple of years ago, because really, I sat in Nevada for years knowing that only people who came to Nevada or lived in Nevada were actually able to bet. And I really thought that wasn't fair to the rest of the country, that this is something that's fun. It really gives you some skin in the game. It makes the games more exciting. You know, we have to be honest. There's some games that they just inherently aren't that exciting.
Mm-hmm,
so when
true.
You add a spread, let's say you have a 10-point spread, you know, that's a great equalizer. And that makes the game that much more exciting to watch. You're staying till the end. You're watching to the end. It helps with viewership. But really, it just, I've watched people, you know, really have just a great time with their buddies, you know, hanging out, watching the games, playing, you know, and really digital didn't come about until about maybe 6 years ago in Nevada. Everything was very retail based. It was when you came into Nevada, you'd go into the sports books, you'd play in a giant sports book, lots of TVs. You know, now we've put it where it's in your pocket. You can bet mobily and you can be on the couch with your buddies hanging out and watching the game and getting some bets down. And I think it makes for great fun when you're sitting with your friends. And it's just a totally different atmosphere. It just makes the game that much more exciting.
Well, and as I listen to you talk about that, I mean, it seems a little bit more advantageous as far as with DraftKings using that mobile app instead of, you know, going to the casino, going to place a bet, right?
Yes. You know, I think when you put it in somebody's pocket, times have really changed. We are a society that we'd like to be at home. We'd like to, I couldn't tell you the last time I was really in a big bricks and mortar place shopping. You know, everything's pretty much for me been online. I can tell you for Christmas, I don't think I went in anywhere.
Uh-huh.
And it's just that's where we have become as a society, is that we really want to have the chance to be able to bet at our convenience. We want to be able to shop at our convenience. It's everything is about the convenience. And, you know, with the DraftKings app, you have that convenience. You have it right there in your pocket. You have it right there on your laptop. And there's so much to bet. The other thing about digital, too, is that you have live wagering, and live wagering is so much fun. So you can be betting as the game is going on. You can, what is the next play going to be? The line changes, you know, maybe it opens up at, you know, minus $1.50, and then as a team gets up or down, the line will change, and maybe you can get plus money on the game, you know, halfway through on that team that you love. So it's really that excitement and getting to play while the game is going on. And that you really can't have unless you have mobile. If you had to go into a bricks and mortar and go up to a retail book and try to get a bet in with a actual teller, there's just not that much time. So the experience is great in the retail shop, but it's more advantageous to have the mobile device so that you can get all those bets down. You know, 30 seconds you have, and then you have instant gratification. You've won or lost.
It is Friday night, and we are so glad you're with us at SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell, right now going one-on-one with the head of Digital Sportsbook and DraftKings, and that is Jamie Shea. So if we're looking into a crystal ball, I mean, what does the future hold for sports gaming in this country?
Well, I'm looking forward to the day that everybody can bet in every state. You know, I really hope that happens. We've seen, you know, Michigan just came on, New Hampshire just came on. You know, just I don't think anybody thought it would move as fast as it did. But I think that all these states are realizing there's some great revenue that can be generated and that can help their states with, you know, jobs and schools. And there's just so much to it that they're missing out by not having that. You know, New Jersey really did it right when they came out of the gate. They put the regulations in place. They fought hard to get sports betting. So they were ready and poised to go. And I think that other states are starting to emulate that. And they're having that mobile, you know, I can't say enough how important it is to have that mobile aspect of it. Probably easy for me to say since I am head of Sportsbook Digital.
Right.
I'll push that a little bit more, right? But it really is something that you can see that over 80% of the bets are made on mobile devices in New Jersey, and it's happening. You're seeing it as Pennsylvania. When Pennsylvania first came out, they came out with just having the retail books, and then they looked at it and said, hey, you know, we really need to implement the mobile strategy as well. So looking across the states, I just think you're going to have in at least 40 states, you're going to have mobile and retail betting, and people are really going to be able to enjoy the games more in all those states.
You know, Jamie, we opened up our segment in our interview tonight. You had you share a little bit about as far as your background, being in the sports gaming business for many years, but you are a successful female executive in the sports industry. What advice would you give to women entering into the sports business world?
You know, it's funny. I've been asked this question a lot because there seems to be an intimidation factor when you bring in sports, and I'm sure that you've felt this yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's just an expectation that maybe we don't know enough about sports or we don't know enough about sports betting, but we need to cut ourselves a break and say, you know, you don't walk into something knowing everything about everything. Everybody's going to learn.
Sure.
That's what you do in a job. So I would say, you know, be open to that. Be receptive. Don't just suddenly decide that this is something you absolutely can't do, because you can. There's sports betting is easy to learn, and it's so much fun. And I think that, you know, if women just looked at it and said, look, I'm going to try this, you know, work with a mentor. I've had just some great mentors in my career that have, you know, male and female, who have said, you know, there's nothing stopping you from doing this. There's nothing that says that this may be a male dominated industry, but it's not a male only industry. And so just keep plugging along, keep pushing. And I think at DraftKings, I was so impressed when I met with the founders, and I was telling them this the other day. I looked in the room, and we were in a senior leadership meeting, and mm-hmm. you know, over half of the room was female, and we're a sports company and we're a tech company. There's room for everyone.
We are winding down our time. The head of Digital Sportsbook with DraftKings, Jamie Shea, has been with us tonight at SB Nation. And the NFL season, I cannot believe we are in week 17. In your mind, come on, Jamie, help us out here. Who's going to be your favorite to win the Super Bowl? I'm sure you've got the Ravens penciled in, right?
I do have the Ravens.
Do you really? Okay.
But I'll tell you this. I am a huge Saints fan. So I went to college in New Orleans, and the first NFL game I went to was the Saints. So I've been a Saints fan since they were the Aints. I'm definitely backing the Saints. You know, the Packers are intriguing at 10-1. They just need the 49ers to lose in Seattle and a win to get home field until the Super Bowl. So, you know, right now I would have to say the Ravens are the clear cut favorite for the AFC and NFC. You know, I'm definitely rooting for the Saints, but the 49ers have a good shot.
Good stuff tonight. Head of Digital Sportsbook with DraftKings, Jamie Shea, has been our guest, helping us here in hour one. Happy New Year, Jamie, and continued success.
Happy
we look forward to another conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. Much more coming your way. Hour one. We'll be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Friday night, welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio. Many different ways to connect with us. You can always join us at Twitter, @eRadioSportsInfo. eradiosports.com and podcastarena.com. Got to pause, recognize the folks that make it happen at SB Nation, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest price. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Well, we are ready for a very big weekend of college football. Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma, LSU. A lot is on the line as the winner will earn a trip to the national title game. We're ready for some predictions tonight. And it is, all I can say is, when I stand back and look at this, it's going to be an incredible playoff. And delighted to have with us from the Maxwell Football Club and the co-host of College Football Today on the Sports Grid, and that is Rich Sermonello. Good evening, Rich. First time on the show. Welcome.
Very excited. Excited about tomorrow's playoff games, yes. But really appreciate you having me on, Alyssa.
Well, we've got a lot of ground to cover, so let's get right to it. Obviously, as you just mentioned, we're looking forward to those big games on Saturday, and Ohio State meets the third-ranked team of the country in Clemson. And, you know, what are you looking forward to the most as far as with the Buckeyes and the Tigers? I mean, can the Buckeyes flip the script?
I do think it's a possibility. It's a fascinating game for me. I think when you look back at the last 5-6 years of the playoffs, I cannot remember a semifinal game with this much anticipation. You have two undefeated teams, two super talented programs, next level players on both squads. You have the defending national champ in Clemson. Think about this in terms of one of the many headlines. You got two quarterbacks here, Trevor Lawrence from Clemson, Justin Fields from Ohio State. Mm-hmm. As starters at this level, have never lost a college football game. So that's how big this one is. I think it's going to be close. Obviously, Clemson has been really hot. Ohio State has beaten nearly every opponent by at least 24 points. I think this is going to be a magical matchup in Arizona.
Let's talk about the Buckeye defense, because it has not seen a quarterback all season long that is even close to the talent level, as you had mentioned, Trevor Lawrence. What kind of adjustments need to take place in order for him to? I mean, you're not going to stop him, but you got to keep him in check. You got to figure out a way to slow him down.
Yep. Yeah. I think for Ohio State, and the defense has been remarkably good, for people who forget, this is a program, despite all of the individual talent, had a lot of issues defensively last year, gave up a ton of plays of 50 yards or more. Pass defense was a big problem. The individual talent is still there, but they have been able to find chemistry on defense, which did not exist in 2018. So this is a program that's giving up just 12.5 points per game, 2.8 yards per carry, number two in the country in pass efficiency defense. For me, the key is going to be to put pressure on Trevor Lawrence. When Clemson was mortal in the first half of the season, if you recall, Trevor Lawrence threw 8 interceptions, and there was all this caterwauling across the country. You know, his sophomore slump. Is he overrated? Is he reading his press clippings? He was ordinary in the first half of the season and then unstoppable down the stretch. So I think it's really incumbent upon not just Chase Young on the Ohio State defense, but Davon Hamilton, Jayshon Cornell, that terrific front seven of Ohio State, to pressure Trevor Lawrence into mistakes. He can make some bad decisions, but boy, we didn't see it over the final 8 games.
You know, when I think of Trevor Lawrence, though, Rich, he's got that experience factor, and he said it himself. I mean, he lives for games like this. He loves the big stage, and he certainly has proven it time and time again over what the past 2 years. I mean, what kind of performance do you anticipate from him on Saturday night?
That's a great question and a great departure from Ohio State. When I try to find separation between these two programs,
right?
You know, oftentimes you look at the two key personnel individuals on a program. It's the quarterback, it's the head coach. Dabo has been there. Ryan Day has not. Ryan Day did a great job first year after replacing a legend in Urban Meyer. Fantastic job. Never has been in this position. Dabo and his staff have been. And Trevor Lawrence, as opposed to Justin Fields on the Ohio State side, he has been in this position before, won a national championship, eviscerated Alabama last year's national championship game. So that, to me, is the key edge. I don't find a lot of separation when you talk about personnel in general, statistically, film-wise. Hard to find much of a difference between these two outstanding undefeated programs. quarterback has been there, coach has been there. That, to me, is the one difference in this game.
Hey, we're so glad you're with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Rich Sermonello from the Maxwell Football Club. We're going to talk about that, the Maxwell Award, here in just a moment. So glad you're with us as we talk about Trevor Lawrence. I want to ask you, how much has he improved over the past 12 months? He's obviously accomplished already so much, but what are you seeing in terms of his development and his continued growth?
Yeah, and I think that's an important question, because a lot of people will take a look and say, I was more impressed as a true freshman, and maybe the bar was not as high, definitely not as high as it is this year. But what I have seen in evaluating from a granular level, what I see is better decision making, again, particularly over the last 8 games, mm-hmm. and his mobility outside the pocket. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about scrambling. He's such a talented passer, has such next level type arm talent. You tend to dismiss the fact that he's a really good athlete, and when the pocket breaks down, he moves, he's flushed out of the pocket. His eyes, Alyssa, are always upfield. He's still looking for his open receiver. So even if Ohio State is able to get pressure, get him outside the pocket, this is a kid who is still able to complete passes and make plays with his feet. So a better athlete. We don't think of him as a dual threat because he's not.
Okay.
But in terms of his agility, his footwork, his eyes staying upfield, really just an outstanding quarterback, and a very good chance that he'll be the first quarterback selected in 2021.
You know, Rich, I don't want to digress too much, but what does the future hold for him in the NFL?
I mean, I love him as a franchise quarterback. You know, when I'm looking at NFL draft, you know, you want all of the physical ability. What's going to show up in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine? He's going to pass all of that test, but you touched on it earlier. I thought it was a great point, which is he has passion for this sport. He is a film junkie. He loves the big game type environment. And, you know, it's beyond just, you know, how far can you throw it? How much zip is on your passes? What do you run the 40 time in? Can this guy win championships for you? He did it as a teenager, which is absolutely remarkable. The mm-hmm. poise that he showed last year, and again, there'll be some ups and downs. We'll see, you know, maybe even next year is going to be a challenge for him. I hate to get too far ahead either, but as a junior, has to be back in college before he decides to turn pro, which obviously we expect him to do. Next year, now that he knows that he's on the precipice of the NFL draft, potentially number one overall player taken in a couple of years, but does he stay motivated next year? Again, getting ahead of myself. But I think he's somebody you build a program around. I think he's someone you can win Super Bowls with.
The postseason of college football, it is underway. We are getting you ready for the semifinals on Saturday. Number one, LSU will face Oklahoma. Fiesta Bowl, that's right, we're talking about Ohio State. And number three, Clemson. Got to ask you this, Rich. Have they been tested this season? I mean, they haven't faced anyone like Ohio State.
Yeah. Yeah, that to me is, yeah, the only knock that I could think of at this point, you know, you look at offensively, defensively, they got it all. Brent Venables, phenomenal job with that defense. And there's not the star power that existed last year, but same results. 8 touchdown passes allowed, 17 interceptions. I mean, they have it on both sides of the ball. But your point is well taken, which is, have they been tested? They were tested by Carolina. Yeah, but Carolina's a 6-6 football team, still mm-hmm. developing with their own true freshman quarterback in Sam Howell. So that, to me, is the biggest knock. Ohio State has been tested. Ohio State has faced the Penn States. They faced the Wisconsins twice. They faced Michigan and handled them easily. Clemson, best opponent this year, A&M,
right.
maybe?
That was back in September,
right?
And they won by 14.
Exactly. So, I don't know. I mean, if they get punched in the mouth early, and this is a 21-17 game in the second half. Now, I have faith in Clemson because they've been there before in terms of previous seasons, but this year, not so much. To me, that's the if you're an Ohio State backer and you're bullish on the Buckeyes heading into the weekend, I think that's the biggest thing right now is Clemson is not battle tested. Ohio State is.
We are quickly running out of time. Rich Sermonello is with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. He's with the Maxwell Football Club, and we're going to talk about Joe Burrow's selection as a Maxwell mm-hmm. Award recipient.
Yeah, it was, you know, we started to, I've been with the club over a decade. we started to, you know, we begin a watch list in the offseason. Joe Burrow was on that. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was on that as well, the LSU running back who may not play this weekend. Never imagined he would get to that point, but as the season developed, he had everything. He had the storyline. He had the statistics. He had his part in an undefeated season, which was somewhat unexpected for LSU. And then from a context standpoint, because people would say to me, like, yeah, Jalen Hurts had a great year. Absolutely. He was a finalist for us. There were a lot of quarterbacks.
Boomer.
Fantastic. Yeah, no question. I mean, Jalen Hurts, phenomenal. We love Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
But Joe Burrow, what he did, because people think about historically and the offenses that used to exist under Les Miles, which drove fans crazy down in Baton Rouge, too conservative, too boring, too predictable. Seeing this kind of offensive production from an LSU squad that runs through the SEC, easily wins an SEC title over Georgia, contextually, it was something that fans were not used to. Joe Burrow ran away with it. I think he's a worthy choice. And, you know, further proof that transfers can win a lot of postseason awards, because that's been happening frequently over the past couple of seasons.
And what's interesting, too, is the fact that, Rich, that this year was more wide open than years in the past. I mean, it seemed like, what, Tua Tagovailoa, last year he was a lock to win that award. Hey, we are flat out of time. Please, we have got to have you back. We're going to extend this invitation. Rich Sermonello, the director of College Awards with the Maxwell Football Club, also the co-host of College Football Today on the Sports Grid. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Rich Sermonello. True pleasure, Rich. We look forward to another conversation in 2020. Thank you.
Would love that. Thank you, Alyssa.
Absolutely. Much more coming your way. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Friday night, welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, brought to you by our good friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, we are ready in our next segment, always ready to talk some college football playoffs. The Peach Bowl, the number one team in the country, LSU, Oklahoma. The Sooners and the Tigers, they will square off in the semifinals. And delighted to have back with us from KREF 1400 in Norman, Oklahoma, the host of Total Sports, and that is James Hale. You can also check him out for all of his video posts, some great information at Patreon U. Happy New Year, James. Good to have you back with us.
Happy New Year, E, and it's always a pleasure to be with you. I hope you had a great Christmas, and you know, Atlanta, this is a beautiful stadium. It's going to be an amazing event. It's kind of SEC territory a little bit. OU just can't seem to avoid that in college football playoff games or championship games. But it's LSU once again. And hey, it's a lot better playing LSU if you're Oklahoma in Atlanta than certainly it is in New Orleans, like Oklahoma had to do in 2003. So, you know, the Sooners are a big underdog going into this game. They don't feel like they're an underdog, and it should be a whale of a game.
You know, James, you say that the Sooners are the underdog, but I just want to step back a moment. At the start of the season, did you believe Oklahoma would be in the college football playoff? Did you believe they'd be in postseason like this?
Yeah, I said repeatedly that Oklahoma was favored in every game they played. You know, they stumbled against Kansas State. They should have never lost that game. Kansas State came up with a great game plan. You tipped your cap to the new coaching staff at Kansas State and what they were able to do on that game. But Oklahoma shouldn't have lost that game. You know, but they did, and that was, you know, a terrible game. But Oklahoma came out of the gates and played well. You know, they beat Houston 49-31. They drubbed South Dakota 70-14. They go all the road on the road for the first time in Pasadena and beat them 48-14, beat UCLA. Texas Tech lost their quarterback. Oklahoma hammered them because of that, 55-16. Kansas put up a little fight, but it was 45-20. Then the Sooners go to Big D and, you know, never really trail in this game against Texas and beat them 34-27. Then they hammer West Virginia at home and Austin Kendall and 52-14. So then you roll into the Kansas State game, and nobody saw that coming. Oklahoma, you know, shouldn't have played badly in that game. They turned it over in that game. They got way behind in that game. They tried to rally. You remember they had the onside kick. You know, and it didn't go Oklahoma's way on the review, and so Oklahoma loses that game. Then they escape against Iowa State, steal a ball in the end zone. Parnell Motley on an interception. The ball's in the gut
of the Iowa State receiver. They're celebrating, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden Motley comes out running with it. And then the Baylor game, Oklahoma rallies from 25 points down to win that game, the largest rally in OU's history. Then TCU is throwing in the end zone. You know, a team that's 500 on the year, and OU beats them only 28-24. Then against Baylor again in the Big 12 championship game, OU has to go to overtime to win 30-23. I thought before the season started they'd win every one of those games. It turned out they were in a lot of nail biters, a lot of gut wrenchers. They lost to Kansas State, and yet the way the chips fell in college football this year, here Oklahoma's back in, and they deserve to be in. Out of, you know, with the teams that were left standing, Oklahoma's one of the four best teams in the country, and so they deserve this shot to be in. And now we'll see if they can take advantage of it, become a better team since the end of the year, and see if they can beat LSU on Saturday.
That's right. Postseason college football, it is underway. We are getting you ready for the semifinals. A chance at the national championship. Number one, LSU will face number four, Oklahoma. We're going one-on-one with my dear friend, James Hale of KREF, 1400 Total Sports in Norman, Oklahoma. It's interesting, James, listening to you just kind of break down this season. There's been some twists and turns. Oklahoma survived that game in Baylor in overtime. They've overcome some obstacles and responded in many different ways. Do you give all that credit to Lincoln Riley, just his leadership and what he's been able to pull out of his guys?
Yeah, I think Lincoln has proven that he's more than just an offensive guru. He's a head coach. He's been able to motivate his guys no matter who they lost on the defensive side of the ball or who got hurt on the defensive side of the ball. You know, he's praised his defense. He brought in Alex Grinch, who brought in two new coaches, and that new staff has changed the culture within the defense. And Lincoln thought that they were playing well enough. Now, they, you know, starting with Kansas State and Iowa State and even Baylor for a half, that defense reverted back to last year. Nobody can figure out why or how that happened, but it did. But the second half against Baylor, they played really good defense ever since. And the defense has played a big role in Oklahoma beating Baylor, TCU, Oklahoma State, and Baylor in the overtime game. That game should have never been an overtime game. But Oklahoma continues to make mistakes, turning the ball over or key penalties at wrong times, and that keeps teams in games. But Lincoln has stayed steadfast. He has never wavered. He's always believed in his team. He's always believed in his quarterback, Jalen Hurts. He's always believed in his defense. And, you know, he thought they were good enough, and he knows, and they knew, first of all, they had to win the Big 12 conference title. Once they did, he felt the conference was so good, that should put Oklahoma in. Well, it's turned out to be that the case, and Lincoln's done a great job of staying the course, motivating his guys, and he's proven that he's one of the elite coaches in the country.
You know, you mentioned Alex Grinch, Oklahoma's defensive coordinator. What shifted defensively with their mindset this year? Here they are, James. They are one game away for playing in a national championship. What's the difference?
Well, there's several things on the defensive side of the ball. Number one, they changed schemes. You know, he uses a rush end. It looks similar to what Oklahoma's done over the past few years under Mike Stoops, but it's different in that they do a lot of different things. They stun a lot more. They move a lot more along the defensive front. He blitzes linebackers more. He blitzes guys off the edge a little bit more. He plays press coverage at corner, and the secondary guys match up and they play press. The key thing is to get pressure on the quarterback, confuse the quarterback, confuse the offensive line to where they don't block at least one guy. And then the speed D concept. Everybody's flying to the ball. Nobody is walking, jogging. Everybody's flying to the ball. You go to the ball as fast and as hard as you can. And if the first guy can't get him, the second and third guy will. You're always working for a turnover. Now, turnovers have not really been something that Oklahoma's been real good at, but they've come up with key turnovers late in the season, and that's really helped them and win every single game. You know, the interception by Benito against Baylor, key plays down the stretch against Baylor forcing turnovers against Baylor, the fumble recovery when it looked like Baylor's running back was going to run in for a touchdown, the interception against Iowa State. So it's happened over and over again where they don't get a bunch of turnovers, but they've been getting key turnovers. And I think it's just the mindset. He's changed the culture. He came in, he didn't look at much of what happened in the past. He didn't even look at the returning players very much on, you know, video from the last couple of years. He's just looked forward. He's brought a new concept, a new mindset. He will text his guys all the time and remind them about getting strips and turnovers. You know, he's totally focused, and he just believes if they got one more play to play to keep a team out of the end zone, that they can win the game or come up with a key thing to get the ball back to the offense. And it's just been a different feel with the defense. This year, I can promise you, OU goes into this game believing they have a defense that can win them the game. Last year against Alabama, the thinking was Oklahoma had to outscore Alabama because their defense wasn't good enough. If they could just get one or two stops, was the thinking. But now, Oklahoma believes they have a defense can win the game, and that's a major mindset change for Oklahoma going into this game.
Host of Total Sports 1400 KREF in Norman, Oklahoma, James Hale with us at the next generation of sports radio, SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. We'd love to connect with you tonight. Join us on Twitter, at eRadio Sports. James, reach out and connect with our audience. Where can they find you and also your amazing video posts and updates on Patreon?
Well, that's called Die Hard Sooner Report, and I put up three or four a day. I took one day off for Christmas holiday, and you just put up one.
Okay.
But the rest of the time, you know, I'm always putting stuff up, and it's four or five different podcasts. And I cover all sports at OU, but we primarily focus on football, football recruiting, and, of course, you know, everything in dealing with football. And I just Google James Hale at Die Hard Sooner Report or Patreon. Go there, James Hale, and you're going to go right to it. And, of course, it's a lot of fun, and it's a little more of a personal situation that you can get, and I promise you'll be informed of what's going on with the Sooners.
We're getting you ready for the Peach Bowl with James Hale, and Lincoln Riley confirms that three players will not play. Oklahoma is the underdog going into this game. James, talk to me about as far as how much of an impact will this have, and how much defensively does the game plan change without what Ronnie Perkins this weekend?
One of the things I keep track of with college football teams all year long is what key players they're losing. Because you just can't keep losing key players all the time and still be as good as you want to be. Now, there are times that blue blood programs, elite programs like Oklahoma and LSU can lose players. And the next guy will step up because he's a five-star recruit too, and he just has a great game. Well, you got to hope that happens at Oklahoma. You know, losing Kenneth Perkins at defensive end is a big blow. He was the Sooners' best pass rusher off the edge. He's an NFL talent. He was getting better and better every game. He seems to make his biggest plays in the second half. Now you lose him, and you've already lost Kenneth Mann, who was a, you know, fifth-year senior. He was a captain last year, had shoulder surgery at the beginning of the year. That cost him three games, and he played in six. And then he tore his ACL. So it's just been a rough year for him. So you lose your top two defensive ends. So now you're down to Isaiah Thomas, a sophomore out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, who is an incredible athlete. He was on his high school team's 4x1 relay team and 4x4 relay team. So he's as fast as you were back in your day at OU. So, you know, he can really move. Now he's grown into a defensive end at 255, 260, and he's begun to play a little bit more and more. So he's beginning to play with his weight and his pads. Well, he's going to have to play a lot here. There's some other things they can do. They can move Jalen Redmond or LaRon Stokes and give them some time out there. They can flip the rush ends and play Benito or David Awogbu out there and give them some time. They can move Kenneth Murray down on passing downs. He's a great pass rusher. Or Caleb Kelly can move down because he can play in one more game before he has to redshirt. So you can do some things there, but it's going to force the Sooners to do some things there. Ramondre Stevenson was a running back that was really coming on. They have T.J. Pledger, former five-star. I don't think that's going to be as big a loss, but Stevenson was playing well. And Trajan Bridges was their backup slot receiver. They had a package of plays they liked to use for him. He was their best special teams player. And then Delarian Turner-Yell broke his collarbone in practice, and so he's out. That's a big blow. They're very thin in the secondary. They've got Justin Broyles. They can step in. Chance Sylvie, who hasn't played all that much, becomes the backup nickel. They just don't have a lot of depth now in the secondary, and that's a big blow for the Sooners. Delarian has saved a couple of games with his tenacity and just hustle, and that's going to be a big blow. So, I don't know if you can lose great players all the time. LSU may not have their tailback. That's a blow for them. how you handle all these injuries and how you handle these suspensions goes a long way. Clemson, they lost their best defensive player last year, and they won the national title.
That's right.
Sometimes guys step up and play well.
What a year for LSU. Heisman winner Joe Burrow, he certainly is the heart of the Tigers. Can Oklahoma contain him? I mean, how big of a challenge is that going to be trying to defend Burrow?
Well, huge, because he moves so well. You know, Joe has had the year for the ages, you know, and he reminds me a lot of Baker Mayfield. I think their games are very, very similar.
Okay.
He's that kind of quarterback. You know, Alex Grinch knows him because Alex Grinch, when he was at Missouri, you know, he had to game plan for Joe quite a bit. So, you know, he knows. And when Joe was at Ohio State, Alex was at Ohio State, and so he had to play against him in practice all the time. Joe's really, really good. They've got primetime receivers and Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. Chase wins the Blitnikoff. LSU's offensive line won the Joe Moore Award. You know, I didn't really think they were the best offensive line in college football, but they got the award anyway. That's what winning does for you. Losing Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a tough blow for them. They don't really have running backs that we know really well, unless you cover recruiting like I do. I know who they are, and I know how highly recruited they were, but they haven't established themselves really well. So containing Joe's tough. You may think you have pressure, and he turns it into a 50-yard play. Baker Mayfield did that for Oklahoma when he won his Heisman Trophy 2 years ago. They're very similar at what they do. But the only thing you can do, though, is pressure mm-hmm. them, keep pressuring them, keep getting after them, and hope you can tackle him a few times. And, you know, it only takes one or two interceptions to change the nature of the game, right? So Burrow doesn't make that mistake all the time, but that's what you got to try to force him to do.
Our college football playoff conversation will continue with James Hale after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour one, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's rejoin James Hale and get you ready for the Peach Bowl, LSU, Oklahoma. Okay, James, only about 60 seconds. In order for Oklahoma to win, what has to happen? Give us the keys.
Well, don't turn the ball over. Get after Burrow. Come up with some big plays. Play the game loose and fancy free. Get after it. You know, it's Jalen Hurts needs to have a huge game. Beat Jalen Hurts. You know, run the ball for first downs, hit some big plays. Sooners need to come up with a couple of magical plays. And somehow, they got to force Burrow and LSU to turn the ball over. And I think Oklahoma's got a great chance. I'd take the points, that's for sure. And I think Oklahoma's got a chance for the upset.
You know, you mentioned Jalen Hurts, the experience factor that he's been in those big games before, too. That's got to help.
Oh, yeah. Nobody's played more big games than Jalen Hurts.
That's right.
At Alabama and Oklahoma, he's the most experienced quarterback out there. I think if he wins one more game, he's the winningest player in college football history. How about that? And we've really enjoyed Jalen. We're having a lot of fun with him. He's beginning to loosen up a little bit around us. He's a neat guy.
Postseason college football, it is underway. We're getting you ready for the semifinals. LSU, Oklahoma. Our good friend James Hale, host of Total Sports 1400 KREF in Norman, Oklahoma, has been with us tonight on this Friday. Thank you so much, Jay. Have fun in Atlanta, and we will talk again real soon. Thanks, Jay.
Hey, have a great day.
You bet. Much more coming your way. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Come on back.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.